suck it.
House Committee on Revenue for February 20, 2018 will come to order. Colleagues, let me announce first that three of our bills are not ready. We are going to have to move them. If we're going to move them, we have to move them tomorrow, I am told. So be prepared to talk tomorrow, carrying over House Bill 4027, House Bill 4080, and House Bill 4028. Have I got that right, Chris? Those three. All right, we're going to open the work session on House Bill 4162. Dave, would you tell us where we are on this bill?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill moves the sunset of nursing facility assessment for another 6 years starting from 2020. Now we have dash one and dash two amendment. Dash one removes emergency clause and sets the sunset date at June 30, 2026. Now we have second amendment that was inadvertently deleted in the original bill. It has nothing to do with the assessment scheme itself, but has everything to do with reimbursement. And that scheme is in place already and should have been in the original bill. So it is added back at this point with the dash two amendments. Now you have the fiscal statement that basically says we need this bill not only to fetch federal matching grant, but also if you don't have this, then DHS may have to come up with money to support the program. We have revenue impact statements. In 2021 year, we have additional $72.4 million that will be raised through this assessment. And then 21-23, we have additional $156 million to be raised. It's all estimates.
Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And can I confirm, Dave, that would be those revenue impacts are explained by currently there's a 2020 deadline. And so the 72.4 is the addition to the second year of that biennium, and the 156.3 is the 2 year extension in those 2 years.
In the next biennium.
Great. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's a great and useful clarification. I would note, colleagues, as I'm looking at this bill, that the relating clause has to do with assessment. And the dash two amendment allows the bill to conform to its relating clause, because that amendment has to do not with assessment, but with reimbursement. So we bring the bill back into conformity with its own relating clause by passing the dash two. That sounds odd, but that I think is what's happened. So what I'd like to do is adopt these two amendments. Representative Smith Warner.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 4162.
Thank you. Representative Smith Warner moves the dash one amendment to House Bill 4162. Discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Representative Smith Warner.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 4162.
Representative Smith Warner moves the dash two amendments to House Bill 4162. Discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Representative Smith Warner.
Would you, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4162 as amended by the dash one and dash two amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Smith Warner moves House Bill 4162 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objections to the motion? I don't see any. With that, the motion carries, and it will go to the floor. Who should carry this bill? Representative Smith Warner wants to carry?
Sure. You'll if there's carry, no prior claim to it.
I frankly don't know. It came from rules. I have no idea whose claim it is. It's,
no,
it's actually Mr. Carlson's bill, and he's not allowed to carry it. So Representative Smith Warner will carry. We'll close the work session on House Bill 4162 and open a public hearing on House Bill 4007. And we'll ask Representative Kenny Guyer, I think.
Yes.
Is up next. Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead and give us the short version of the bill, and then we'll hear from the good representative. Welcome to our committee again.
Thank you.
It's great to see you back.
Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4007, there is an amendment that got posted as well. I didn't get it included in the OLS or the SMS as it came in just minutes before the committee hearing. I believe it's the dash 12. But it is an OLS, it's just not in the summary.
And we're not working the bill today.
Right, it's just a public hearing.
Right, so, yeah. Right, okay. Tell us what this bill does, and then we'll go to the good representative.
Okay, so 4007 with the A, really you can think of it in two components. There is the first-time home buyer savings account that's being created, and then a change to the document recording. So the first-time home buyer savings account, the general idea is it's allowing taxpayers to establish first-time home buyer savings accounts. They can then, there is an allowed subtraction from taxable income up to $5,000 or $10,000 per year, depending if you're a single or a joint filer, for contributions to those accounts. It then also exempts the interest earnings on those accounts so they can grow over time and not be subject, again, this is to Oregon taxation. The tax years applicable are 2019 through 2024. The document recording fee, the changes there are increasing the document recording fee from $20 to $75, and this is the document recording fee related to housing-related programs that are funding Housing Community Services Department. And that would be effective July 1st, 2018. That's the quick high-level overview.
Wonderful. And now we'll get the rest of it. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Alyssa Kenny Guyer. I represent House District 46, parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland. Vice Chair Smith, Vice Chair Smith Warner, members of the committee, I'm really honored to be here today to present to you again. I presented last year as well a bill that includes an increase in the document recording fee. And this time, the bill also, as you heard, includes a first-time home buyer savings account. As many of you know, some of you have served on my Housing and Human Services Committee. We have a huge crisis in housing. It's ongoing. I'm going to skip over a lot of what I would want to say because I know we have to be back on the floor at 1:45, and I have a lot of other people that want to testify. But basically, our crisis continues in housing, and it's throughout the state. It's very it's predominant throughout the entire state. Our committee hears from people who are willing to drive hours to hear about this. And it's everything from our increase in homelessness. We have 10 years ago, we had about 13,000 children that were homeless, and it's now up to over 22,000 that are homeless. That is, and I'm happy to, I think on OLS I may have shared what the count is per school district. There are some, for instance, in Jackson County that are over 30% homeless. Practically one out of three. The average for the state is 10% of our kids. It's not just the homeless. It's also that renters are experiencing more and more of a burden. We say they're rent burdened when they spend more than 30% of their income on housing, and they're severely rent burdened when they spend more than 50% of their income on housing. Those numbers continue to go up. The number of renters who are severely rent burdened is often as high as 25%. And if you look at low-income renters who are severely rent burdened, it can be as high as 75% in some counties. So we have a county-by-county analysis. I know that Housing and Community Services would be happy to provide that to you for your own county, but it's really shocking. And we know that it impacts every single other thing that we do in the state. It hurts the education performances that we're trying to get when we put our $8.2 billion into education. It hurts what we're trying to do in the health arena when we put billions of dollars in health care. It hurts our public safety goals. We put billions of dollars into public safety, economic development. We have places on the coast that we've heard about in our committee that are closing because they can't get waiters or cooks to work in restaurants because they were not willing to drive that far and they can't find any housing. So I could go on and on and on, and I wish I could channel all the voices that have come to our committee, but I will trust that you understand how grave this crisis is. We, over the last few years, have tried to do a number of different things, both policy-wise and budget-wise, to try to address this crisis. And we have made some slow progress. And I really appreciate the support that many of you have given for a lot of these different initiatives. Some of them have to do with land use. Some of them have to do with trying to really expedite our private sector building through Senate Bill, I think it was 1071 last time around. Some of you just got off the floor yesterday and voted for the more flexible bonding language in the Constitution. That was unanimous. So I really appreciate how people are trying to come together and address this. So we know it's policy, but we also know it's budget. In the last few years, we have increased the budget in several ways. When we've gone year after year trying to increase the budget, some of this is the continuing service level for emergency housing assistance. This is the assistance that goes to people to try to prevent homelessness. It helps people who all of a sudden get a big rent increase and can't find a place to live. It will tide them over temporarily so they're not out on the streets until they can find a place. It helps people who do have to find another place, either because of a rent that's too high or because of a no-cause eviction, to be able to do relocation expenses. It helps people who are in shelters be able to put down a deposit in a first and last month. So this EHA, Emergency Housing Assistance money, is really important. Some of that is also used for SHAP, the State Homeless Assistance Program. The continuing service level that we have for that program has been $10 million. We were able to get that up to $20 million in the year 2016 for that biennium. We were able to get it up to $40 million this last time around, but that was not continuing service level. That was one-time money. And a letter went from the legislature to the Housing Community Services Director, said, when you distribute this through your community action agencies, make sure that people know that was one-time funding. So it's very hard for these community action agencies across the state to put into place the shelter that they know they need for the increasing numbers of homeless, because it's one-time funding. You can't acquire a place, outfit it with beds, and promise people staffing. So that is one issue with, although it's great that we do one-time funding, it's one-time funding. The same you can say about supply. We have tried to increase supply. We went from $5 million in lottery bonds for preservation of affordable housing to this last time around $20 million. That was great, but it's one time. There's no guarantee that happens. The request was actually for $100 million. That is the need that we have to keep people who are currently housed in affordable housing. We weren't able to meet that need. We just don't have enough lottery bonds. We started a new LIFT program. That's the local innovation fast track housing. We put $40 million into that a few years ago. We put $80 million into it in general obligation bonds recently. Again, one-time funding, there's no assurance of it going on. So the beauty of the document recording fee is that it's a fee set, and so the money comes in year after year. Currently, the fee is $20, and it brings in $30 million a biennium. It's $15 million a year. 10% of that goes to EHA and SHAP, and you can see on here, if you scroll it up a little bit, how the money is divided. 10% to EHA and SHAP, that's only $3 million. So what we have for emergency housing and state homeless assistance program is $10 million continuing service level plus the three. The supply is really some of the most important supply money. You will hear from developers around the state that this is the most flexible funding. We do have our state low-income housing tax credit and federal low-income housing tax credit. There are all kinds of hoops to jump through. There's strings attached. There's a lot of reporting required with those. This is the most flexible funding, and it's the part that covers that last little bit. Now, again, what happens here with the GHAP money, General Housing Assistance Program, is people will send in their applications when there's a NOFA, Notice of Funding Available, and then out of maybe every five that is shovel-ready, qualified, would be good to go, they might have funding for one out of every five. And so the others have to wait for the next year or the next 2 years to get in line for that funding. It's very hard to attract affordable housing developers when they know they have to buy the land, they have to fill out the applications, and then they have to wait until there's enough money in this pot. So here we have a huge housing crisis. We're trying to put more money into the system, kind of year by year, begging. And then we have a small amount that's very, very valuable, but it's only a small amount that they can count on. So this is why the document recording fee is so important, because it's reliable money that will come year after year. I could go into great detail about what other states do and how they put their money from the document recording fee and or the real estate transfer tax, often thousands of dollars, into their affordable housing pot. We cannot do a real estate transfer tax. That was banned by the voters in the Constitution in a ballot measure in 2012. We, as a result, cannot put any new fee or taxes on the table that was not already in effect at that time. So the document recording fee is one of the only places that we can go. We've had a lot of people who have testified around the state. I was going to read a list, but I won't in the interest of time. I do want to say the just a couple of one thing about the home ownership piece, 14%. We are 43rd in the state on home ownership. I think everyone in this room knows how important home ownership is, both to help stabilize families. It is one of the best rent protections you can have, a 30-year fixed mortgage, and it's a way to help low-income people build assets. So we're 43rd. We need to make a really concerted effort to climb above this. The 14% is really critical. It goes not only to financial education, it has an incredibly low default rate because of the due diligence and education it does, but it also goes to down payment assistance. So the second part of this bill, or it was listed as first actually in how it's written up, is the home buyer savings account. This is an idea that the realtors brought to us because they are also passionate about increasing home ownership. And so while this bill would change our current, in the doc fee, our current home ownership goes up to 80% of area medium income. People are eligible up to 80%. It would increase it up to 100% under the document recording fee, eligible for cash, for down payment assistance. What the first-time home buyer savings account does is it picks it up from there. We know that people from 100%, often up to 200%, depending on where they live, area medium income, still have a hard time buying a home. So this part of the bill says we are going to give some help. It won't be down payment assistance, but it'll be a tax relief for people who are more at that moderate income so that they can, with their own skin in the game, be incentivized to save for their first-time house. So a lot more people, way more knowledgeable behind me, can talk about that, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Bueller?
Yeah, thanks, Chair Barnhart. Representative, thanks for bringing this forward. As you know, I share your passion in this issue, especially about anything that increases the supply of affordable housing. But I have been disturbed about recent reports in Portland of an affordable housing project that is being constructed over $600 a square foot. Is there anything that assures us in that these dollars will not go to such a project where affordable housing is constructed at $650 a square foot?
So a couple of things on that. Thank you. Just to answer about the 600, one of the things that I think is really good about the constitutional measure, the referral to the ballot that we just did, was some of the Portland municipal bonding that we just passed, the Portlanders passed, what really tied the hands of developers because of some of the restrictions, like government has to own it, and that way you can't bring in a public-private partnership where you can really leverage private dollars. And part of what Portland certainly is hoping for out of the constitutional measure, if the voters pass it, is that they will be able to partner more with private partners who can help bring the cost down. So that is a separate bill that was trying to address that issue. In terms of this, we have excellent leadership, in my opinion, and I believe that's very widely held on my committee, from the new director, Margaret Salazar, from Oregon Housing and Community Services. And they have just completed a roadshow where a lot of these issues came up, of how to really best use funds in terms of each of these different categories, including supply, and a lot of ideas, including things like missing middle, ADUs, you know, how can we really stretch our supply dollars to the extent possible? So I think that we have, I believe that Oregon Housing Alliance has put a list of projects up on OLIS that the supply, actually that all three of these buckets have supported, and you can take a look at those, but I think I have confidence that these funds have been spent well, and there's really good oversight right now at both the community level as well as the departmental level to oversee these funds.
Please, yeah. So my understanding of the project that came in at $650 a square foot, that was funded at least partially by Home Forward. So are you telling me that none of these funds that would come from this bill would go through Home Forward, who had oversight and has current oversight of the project that's so expensive in Portland?
No, I assume some of the funds would. I think their hands were tied in certain ways that we're hopefully going to untie their hands.
Can you give me you an probably idea of how
new, we... You probably know there's new leadership over there as well. And so I think somebody behind me might be able to address that more. But, yes, I have confidence that these funds are going to be incredibly well spent. I do want to say I forgot that 25% of each of these buckets are spent on veterans housing issues. And in terms of the homeownership, I want to call out that the homeownership funds are not only spent for down payment assistance, but also for repairs. And so this is really important for veterans who come back from the field and often need to remodel their homes.
Other questions? Representative Hernandez, please.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart. And mine is more of a comment. So if you want me to throw in a question, I will, Barnhart. First, I want to say thank you, Representative Alyssa Kinney-Geyer, for working on housing issues in general. I live in a district that has tremendous challenges when it comes to housing and homelessness. I have a family shelter that just closed out of safety reasons, including two women shelters in my district and also a couple shelter. And as somebody who gets to see it back home and has experienced homelessness, I don't think the state has done enough to address the issue. I think those of us who have the privilege of having any type of additional funds should be responsible, to be honest, of dealing with those who have the least and those who are struggling in our streets. With that said, I was supportive of a fee of $100. Might make some folks uncomfortable, but when you see it hands-on and get to witness it consistently, you see the reality of how dire the situation is and how people are suffering. And so I really want to appreciate you for all the work you've done on this important issue. And I'm hopeful that we can continue to do more. But
Thank you.
I don't think 60 is enough, but that's just my opinion.
Well, thank you for raising the issue of the fee, and I hadn't mentioned that. We had introduced it at 75. There was another state that just went from 0 to 75, and that was on top of their real estate transfer tax. And I have a whole list of what other states do that go far beyond what we do. So I had thought that 75 was reasonable. I support the amendment that has been submitted to lower that to $60. It also takes the six-year sunset on the savings account out to an eight-year sunset. I have been in communication with various stakeholders for months, and I've compromised on a number of different things because I do think that both of these bills are really important. I am sad to see the amount of funding go down. The difference between 60 and 75 is about $22 million at biennium. But I want this bill to pass really badly. It's very hard to be the chair of Housing and Human Services and see the dire need that we have and not have anywhere near adequate resources. So this is a step absolutely in the right direction. Thank you.
Other questions? Yes. Representative Marsh, please.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm going to take Rep. Hernandez's lead and try and turn a comment into a question. I think it is important to note, and Rep. Hernandez is from the most metropolitan of our state, but in our very rural areas, we suffer with tremendous housing pressures as well. Jackson County, and you alluded to it in your comments in a couple of places, very likely leads the state in terms of the proportion of income that is going to rent, in terms of those rent-burdened individuals. We have slower housing starts than we need. A rental vacancy rate that's hovered around 2%, 1% to 2%. So the problem is, it goes across the state, it's hitting the urban areas, the rural areas, and I guess I'd just say, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I agree, and I could put a lot more on Nolas about this if you'd like.
Thank you.
About the need.
This bill has no subsequent.
Yes, so it does. It will have to go to Ways and Means because of the savings account is a tax benefit, which means it's a hit a little bit on the
right, and it sets up an account which normally they want to see.
So right,
there's no
right.
subsequent in OLIS, but
there should be.
At least it's not listed in OLIS.
Okay,
Chris is about to tell me something about it.
We'll be requesting a letter. We're putting together a letter.
We'll request a letter. Okay, so this does go to Ways and Means. The reason I ask that question is it makes a difference as to when I have to work this bill to get it out. I have a day or two, maybe more, if it only goes to Ways and Means and doesn't go to another substantive committee in the Senate.
No, I believe it would go to Ways and Means, and then the House, and then the Senate.
And the Senate
floor. It doesn't go to another policy committee
right.
in the
Okay, and I
Senate.
Also would note that I'm looking at line 34 of page 5, which deals with the issue that we neglected to deal with last time, which allows the county tax collectors not to pay this fee.
Thank you.
They were paying it on lien notices and a whole variety of other things that they have to file in the deed records, and it doesn't make any sense to require them to pay it. And I see you fixed that.
Yes, we did, and that would save them. Even if the fee stayed current, it would. They spend about $300,000. I forget if it's a year or biennium on that.
Right.
They're happy about that. I do want to mention that AOC, which had been opposed to this in the past because of the county clerks being opposed, voted this year to be neutral. And at their summer retreat that they had last summer, 35 out of 36 of the counties said the housing crisis was their number one priority.
Big issue for them.
Yep.
Representative Smith?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to point out, in reference to the question on Ways and Means, on page 6, line 33, it talks about that to administer the home ownership assistance account as provided for in the legislatively approved budget, is that defined in ORS 291.002 for the Housing and Community Services Department. And so right there's your reference.
Yep.
To that it has Ways
yep.
and Means.
It will definitely go to you. And I didn't spend a lot of time talking about that because there are people here who spend a lot more time developing that,
right.
Who can talk to that. I just want to, again, lend my strong support for it and say that I've been at the table all along with them working to develop that concept.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
I'm going to do triage because I have 10 minutes at the maximum to get through 10 witnesses, and we're not going to make it today. So I've got a few people from out of town. Let's go with them first. Jacob Fox, Emily Ryman, and it looks like Alkin McIntosh. I apologize if I'm not reading your names correctly because I can't read your handwriting.
Sorry.
Who else among the people who have or signed up is from out of town would have problems coming back tomorrow? And you are?
Barbara Ross.
Barbara Ross. Oh, it's Ross. Thank you. All right. Another one. You'll be on deck. Please give your testimony and be brief if you can. Otherwise, it's back tomorrow.
Great. Chair Barnhart, fellow committee members, my name is Jacob Fox. I'm the executive director of Homes for Good, which was formerly named the Housing and Community Services Agency of Lane County. So we're Lane County's housing authority, and just give you a sense of who we serve. We have about 4,700 people that we serve at any given time. You add in the kids and other members of the household, and we're serving about 11,000 people. And then you add our waiting list, that's about another 11,000. So it gives you a sense of the need in our community. We fully support House Bill 4007. And just a couple examples of things we've done in our community. We're actively working with a nonprofit to serve people that are coming out of the prison system. We just finished our second.
And what is your view of this bill?
This bill is critical. We've used GHAP funding to develop housing for folks coming out of prison, folks that are homeless. One of the things that's unique about us is we serve all of Lane County. So Oak Ridge, Cottage Grove, Florence, the need in our community has never been greater. And this bill is absolutely critical to us serving seniors, working families in our community, and I urge you to support it.
Thank you so much. I apologize for cutting you off, but the speaker will not applaud if I don't get this committee back on the floor in 10 minutes.
Understood.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Emily Ryman. I'm the executive director of NEDCO, an affordable housing and asset building agency serving Lane, Marion, and Clackamas counties. We're here also in support of 4007. We are one of the homeownership centers funded by the 14% of the doc recording fee that goes to support affordable homeownership. We provide education, counseling, and down payment assistance. In the interest of time, I will just leave you with this one statistic. NEDCO across our three counties serves between 500 and 600 aspiring low-income first-time homebuyers every year in our education programs, and through the doc recording fee funding, we only had 12 slots for down payment assistance funding. So that's three to four slots in each of our counties. It's not even a drop in the bucket compared to the need, and increasing the doc recording fee to $60 is a chance to make a really meaningful change in that level of funding to support homeownership, to make it affordable, to make it accessible to working class families in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Allison McIntosh, here on behalf of the Housing Alliance. I will save you some time and just let you know I'm here to answer questions. Also happy to come back tomorrow if anybody has questions. Then the Housing Alliance is in strong support of House Bill 4007.
Thank you. Questions? I have one for NEDCO. You do a lot of counseling, financial counseling. I'm assuming that the first part of this bill, having to do with this homeowner savings account, will be something that you would use in your counseling program.
Absolutely. Almost every family that we work with would qualify for that program, and many of the families we work with have to save for 2, 3, 4 years before they're able to buy, right. So they would benefit from it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We very much appreciate your testimony and your willingness to help us with this issue. Barbara Ross, Bill Burgess, please. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart and members of the committee. My name is Barbara Ross. I'm with the League of Women Voters. We are a statewide grassroots organization. For a long time, we've been very interested in housing and in homeless issues. You have my written testimony before you, but I just want to say that in Portland, we have a terrible problem with homelessness, but through the years, these emergency funds are being used effectively to help people who are in danger of being evicted or losing their jobs, and that emergency fund has been used effectively to help people avoid being homeless. And so we are, of course, in favor of the other parts of the bill because the housing supply and home ownership are both very urgent. So I would just want to let you know that the League of Women Voters is one of many organizations that think this bill is critical, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Burgess.
Hi, Bill Burgess, Marion County Clerk and a member of the Oregon Association of County Clerks, also a League of Women Voters member, but not representing them here today. And also when Representative Kenny Geyer talked about the Oregon Association or the Association of Oregon Counties, this legislative session this last summer talking about housing, I was one of the participants there, where indeed housing is so important. Affordable housing is important to the point that I even, a gentleman came up to me, I talked with him a few days ago, I gave him my socks because he needed them. But we feel that this fee is unfair, and it affects just a small group of people, and that's our captive audience, and we would love the legislators to be in our office as we collect these fees from these people. But we gave you a lot of information, but if you look on page 7 of 34 of one of the documents here, it's got a scenario here where property owner Jane Smith loses her spouse and files a death certificate. She pays the fee. Then she becomes too ill. She decides to record a power of attorney. And then when she dies, her heirs have to also file a death certificate. And then they afford an affiance deed. And then later on, they sell the property. So they pay it about 5 different times. There are also small contractors with their liens that have to pay those fees too. And sometimes a painter may only have a $500 lien. If they're gonna have to pay this fee to put the lien on and then pay the fee again to put the lien off, that's a problem. And The third thing is the credibility of governance here when we're charging fees over and beyond what is considered fair and equitable. We used to have it when I first started 12 years ago, $26, then it went to now $46. In my office with this, it's going to make it more like closer to $100. And that's just way beyond the pale of what is fair. And we're working our hardest to try to treat people with dignity and respect and to treat them professionally and to espouse the idea that we're all working together to make this world a better place. And I'm afraid that doing things like this hurts our credibility.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel? Thank you. I appreciate that. And we have Doug Christman on the phone, hopefully we'll be able to come back tomorrow. Sean Jillians, Sean Cleaves, and Tim Cowan. Hopefully you can all come back tomorrow. We will hold the bill over till tomorrow. Colleagues, this bill has a complex set of provisions involving the savings account that I referred to a minute ago and that the good representative referred to in her statement. I would appreciate it very much if you take some time between now and the time we hold the work session to review the sideboards in the savings account. It looks pretty tight to me. It looks pretty good. But let's make sure that, I mean, the key to this kind of a savings account is that it should go to people who otherwise would have a great difficulty saving money for this purpose, not to people who can afford make a down payment on a house or make a gift to a child to make a down payment on a house and reduce their but through this mechanism allow them to reduce their taxes. I think this works the way it's written, but I would like very much for other eyes to review it and see what your thoughts are about it. Colleagues, so we will carry this over to Representative Smith. Did you have something?
Not on this issue.
No, we will carry this over till tomorrow. That means I've done everything I need to except close the hearing, right? We will hold it over for hearing tomorrow. We'll close the hearing now on House Bill 4007. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, I just wanted to share with you, tomorrow I'm going to be absent. I have legislative responsibilities in district that have been calendared for several months now. And so it looks like I'm going to miss a couple key votes tomorrow. I apologize. It's just the way the calendar fell.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate knowing that. Anything else before you dash back to the floor to keep the scowls away from the speaker's face? All right. Thank you. With that, the committee is adjourned.